Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Crucifixions, it takes many things to put us in a place. Sometimes it takes the doctor looking you in the eye and saying, "Ain't no more we can do for you." And you think, "Well, I can't put my faith in the medical field now. I can't put my faith in my dollar. I can't put my faith in my understanding, my ability. I'm now at a place I got to put my faith in God." And I'll tell you, when you come to that place, He'll show Himself. People think I'm rather peculiar at times. I know the Bible says we're supposed to be peculiar people, but a man came to me and he said, "Brother," he said, "my marriage is busted up. My wife's leaving me. I'm losing my job, and I'm strung out on dope. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Man, you're in the best place I've ever seen, yes, since I've met you." Because now he's at a place, the only thing that could help him was God. Sometimes we have to get to that place. When we can't reason it out, we can't make anything work, we can't do anything, we're just in a place, say, "Okay, God, here I am." It's an awesome place to be. Frightening place sometimes, a scary place. If I was going to teach on faith tonight, and I took you over to Hebrews 11, we could read about all the different brethren of old that had to apply faith. You think Moses, when he was standing there and he's him locked up against the Red Sea, you know, you think, "Oh man, I know he was a mighty man of valor." But you know, if he would have leaned to his human reason, he said, "My, I know the strength of that army." You know, he was trained in that. He could have looked at that and said, "We don't have weapons, we don't have chariots, we don't have this and that, we're doomed." But no, he had faith. And he said, "The salvation of the Lord, let me show you." And he did by faith, and they were victorious. You know, there's so many actions of faith. But how many times have we had to apply faith? Without faith, we cannot know God. Without faith, we cannot please God. And without faith, it is numbered to us as sin. While we're standing together, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for a spirit of faith. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that faith is attainable by pressing our way into thy kingdom and by hearing your word. Oh God, give us ears to hear your word. Father, that we don't just hear the vibrations of an intellectual understanding or some kind of an understanding of a memorization of a scripture. But Father God, let us truly hear the mind of Christ, the spirit of revelation, the mystery of godliness, Lord God. Father God, we ask you to open up our understanding and our eyes that we can see and ears that we can hear. Father God, that we could grow in the grace and knowledge of a living God. Father God, let us get away from religious wondering, Lord God, and get away from ideology and thinking that we know something when we stand next to you and we find ourselves so small, Almighty God. We need your help. We need your power. We need your grace. Father God, we need you to grant unto us the spirit of revelation, Father, that we can grow in the depths, the widths, the heights, Almighty God, of your word. As you press us and challenge us, Father God, as you chasten us, Father, we thank you. We love you. We have all trust and faith in you, knowing that you have your way in the good and the evil, and all things work for our good. We thank you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Young, be seated. It's wonderful to be in a house of prayer that we could pray, and not just some religious activity. Well, we're going to pray and we're going to do this. But we pray, we believe, and we set faith, and we see things happen. Amen. An acquaintance and friend here in town, I spoke with him today, his brother, they gave him 2 days to live, about a 50-year-old man here in the area. He has cancer. They gave him, again, a couple days. Remember them in prayer and pray for them. I asked him if his brother was a Christian, and he said, well, he confesses to be. And that's a wonderful thing, to have a confession that you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God. But the Bible does say this, and not speaking so much of this man standing there on the threshold of a crossover, we might say. Because if he's a born-again Christian, he can't die. The doctors may come out, and the morticians may come out, and they may put him in a box and bury him. But according to our Bible, ye that are born of God cannot die. Amen. When the Bible speaks of you that have gone by the way of the grave, it says sleep. It says very clear. It says gone to sleep with the forefathers. And when Jesus came along and they were speaking of Lazarus, they said, oh, he's dead. He said, oh, no, he's not dead. He's asleep. And they said, but he stinketh by now. The Lord knew what he was talking about. Brothers and sisters, we got to learn the Bible and understand it. And sons of God, Christians, born-again people, cannot die. Amen. Because they have the spirit of power, strength, and life, and he's granted that unto us. Amen. So don't always go by what you hear. Go by what we find in the mind of God and in the word of God and believe what Jesus said. Amen. It's not complicated, brothers and sisters. We've passed from death unto life. Death was the last enemy of God, and it was conquered by the works of Christ at Calvary. If it wasn't conquered there, it's never been conquered. You understand that? When he said it's finished, it's done, And when you are born again, you see, when they put you in a box, it's like the woman come to church visiting one time. And she said, boy, that preacher's going to have a sad day one day. He's going to find out I talk like I'm speaking. I speak by the mind of God and the word of God. And when the Bible said we're more than conquerors, we pass from death unto life. You know, I believe that. And I believe the last enemy was conquered. I don't have fear of death. I can't die. You see, even though this whole body that was appointed to go back to the dust or corruption or whatever you want to say, yeah, you could do this thing, you put it in a box and you can mourn over and you can do all that, but that's not death, to be absent from this body's presence with the Lord. That's not death. Brothers and sisters, there is a second death, and there will be people that are separated and they won't see and have the opportunity to love and to worship God and live with Him. That's death. Could you imagine being put out of the presence of a living God? Brothers and sisters, I tell you, if you've ever had God deal with you in the Spirit and chasten you in such a way you feel the Spirit pull away from you, that's a terrible, terrible place to be. You know, when you even think of the Son of God, when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord had to pull away that spirit, and He cried out, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, you say, was that God crying out like that? That was the Son of Man. You have to know how to differentiate between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And the thing is the Spirit of the living God that spoke all things into existence was dwelling there within that human personification in the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is what our Bible teaches us. And it was there and dwelling there. And then we had to differentiate between the inner and the outer man, between the body, the soul, and the Spirit, between the Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. That we could differentiate the Spirit of the Word that's invisible, the Father, no man has seen, and the personification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of God. That's the only person of God. There's not three persons. That's Catholic doctrine. There's only one God, one faith, one baptism. And the thing is that the Father is invisible, no man has seen. If He was a person, you'd see Him. But the invisible Spirit personified itself in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the personification. And that's where the Bible again says that it's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So there's our bodily personification, and then He sent back the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, which we are the many-membered body of Christ, and that Holy Ghost is the same Spirit, the Bible says, that dwelled within Christ Jesus. It said it shall dwell within your mortal body, and it shall raise you up, amen, from the dead. Hallelujah. So we've been risen from the dead, brothers and sisters, because we passed from death unto life. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. And I say, well, that's why we have to pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation in the mind of Christ. Because you observe the lying vanities. This world is vanity. It's vexation of the spirit. It's all a lie. And we've got to find out, when we look in the mirror, the Bible said you walk away and not even remember what manner of man which you are. So the thing is you can't go by what you see. People say, I don't believe unless I see it. That sounds like something Doubting Thomas said. Amen. But you know what, brothers and sisters, we believe because we have faith. And we see into the mind of Christ and the spirit of revelation and knowing who we are. The Bible says, now ye are the sons of God. It said the world doesn't see you of what you already are, and they don't know you of what you already are. That's what the Bible says, but it says, now ye are. Amen. But one day the world will see us of what you always are, and that's in that resurrected body. When you come forth, when this body's changed in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, goes through the metamorphosis or through the transfiguration, and this body's changed, amen, then the world will see you and say, wow, you really are a son of God. But you say, what are you talking about? I always was. Amen. Always have been. Hallelujah. So we don't know Jesus after the image that He walked among men in. The Bible commands us not to know Him after that image. And we know Him in the resurrection. And when He come forth in the resurrection, even His apostles that walked with Him and didn't even recognize Him. That's the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to learn and we have to understand and know God in. Amen. I'm going to give an opportunity this evening before I go any farther. There's many things on my heart. I speak by the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. But I was going to see if you had any questions maybe to do with some of the things that we were bringing forth on Sunday. Sister Melissa. Yes. Okay, let me say this, that in Christ and in the Spirit, everything's completed. Now, let me explain this. We're going to use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example. See, many people think that Jesus had a beginning about 2,000 years ago. Most people would think that. You know, He was born in Bethlehem, you know, some 2,000 years ago, and there was the beginning. But see, the Bible says that He had no beginning. Some people think that Mary's the Lord Jesus Christ's mother. Well, see, the Bible doesn't teach that neither. Now, I know I'll lose many of you right there. It was the mother of the Son of Man, Jesus. But we have to differentiate between the Lord and the Christ. The Bible says God has no mother nor father. The Bible says that Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible's clear to teach us that Jesus is God. He told them that even when He was here. We know all these things. Then how can we say that he didn't have a mother. You see, this wasn't Jesus' beginning. He is all things, brothers and sisters. He was here when the worlds were spoken into existence. You understand that? The Bible said he was crucified before this world ever was, before the foundation of this world. So how can you have him a beginning 2,000 years ago and say that he was crucified before the world ever was? And I'm answering the sister's question, but see, I'm getting you to think a little bit differently. Because see, what the problem with the human mind, it is finite in the perspective. It thinks chronologically. It puts everything into timely perspectives. I'll just give you an example. If you pick up your Bible right now, you got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, you got the Book of Revelations. And you say, well, the Book of Revelation is something that's to come. And I say, no, it's already all taken place. And you say, no, preacher, man, that can't be. I understand all the things written in there. You know, and then you say, well, see, I could have talked to you 2,500 years ago in the same way I'm talking to you right now. And I say, no, Jesus has already been crucified. And you say, oh, no. You're all messed up. No, see, you're thinking in a chronological order. The Bible again says he was crucified before the world ever was. The Bible said your name was put in the book of life before the world ever was. I'm challenging you. So you could say, man, you're just all messed up, and you could run out the door. Man, this is a cult. You can say whatever you want. But brothers and sisters, I got Bible for what I'm speaking. I'm trying to get you to think. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Well, wait a minute. I'm looking at you, Lord. Though you have ears, you don't hear. And they said, but I'm hearing you. So was the Lord a liar when he said that? No, because he was speaking to people that were looking at him and hearing him with a natural concept of thought. But he wants us to learn to see by the Spirit, by the mind of Christ. You see, a man that's blind, naturally speaking, and he walks with the white stick, could say that he has seen the Lord. And there's another man with 20/20 vision that couldn't say that. So what I'm saying is, to see the Lord has nothing to do with this eyesight. It has nothing to do with this hearing, to hear the Word of God, to hear the mind of God. What I'm challenging you in is to challenge yourself and see how you think. So the book of Revelation is first. It's the light. The object is, again, the New Testament. Jesus came as the object of worship. And the book of shadows, or the shadow cast by the object, the light's got to be there before. Now, you as a man, you think of everything in dispensations and times and seasons. He said he's afraid of you that think that way. That's what the Lord says. So we got to change the way we think. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Don't think like a man. Man's ways are contrary to God's ways. So we got to convert the way we think. So how do we think? By the Word of God. Am I asking you to do something that's not recorded in this Bible? No. Okay, so now, I said some things that would be controversial. Some would say that, you know, Mary's the mother of God. That's what Catholic doctrine teaches. Well, I have no Bible, nowhere for that. Mary was the virgin mother of the Son of Man. And you say, well, is there a difference between the Son of Man and the Son of God? And this is still answering the question. I'm using this as a foundation. You see, when we're talking about this child, when we're talking about God, we say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. We say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, well, you say, well, the Son part wasn't there. You know, and he had to be come over here and be birthed through a woman 2,000 years ago. And then we had the Son part walking among men and walking among us. And the thing is that's not what Jesus said. He said, I had no beginning, had no end. I have no mother or no father. You see? So was Jesus lying when we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Was the Father of the Son of the Lord Jesus? And I'd say, well, I'd hope that you believe that. That has a lot to do with having faith. But then yet, do you have to think when you think of fathering? Do you have to think of something bringing the blood seed or the loins from the man part into the womb of the woman? You see, when we know that he didn't come this way, so then when we start looking at the birthing of Jesus, we say, well, he didn't have a natural father, but he had a heavenly father. But then again, I've got my natural father sitting right here. But then I'm supposed to have a spirit within me that cries, Abba, Father. So then I have a spiritual father. Well, which one am I? Am I his son or am I a son of God? The Bible says, now ye are the sons of God. Okay, so now we're differentiating between a man's life and a man's world. And then one would say, well, Brother Rob, I understand that you were born in 1958. That was your beginning. Now see, now you're back to a chronological thought. Same way about Jesus when Job said, you know, where was you when we leaped for joy before the world ever was? So when did I have a beginning? When did Jesus have a beginning? You see, brothers and sisters, this is what we got to start understanding. This is why there was a place created called hell. It wasn't made for man, but it was made for spirits, these fallen spirits, because they're eternal. The thing is there's a spirit world and it's invisible. No man has seen the Father. God is invisible. No man has seen him. Philip came along again. We speak about this in John chapter 10. It speaks about it, I believe, also in 13. But he says, when will we see the Father? Philip come along and asked Jesus that. When will we see the Father? And Jesus said, how can you say you have not seen the Father? The Bible said no man has seen the Father. But now here's Jesus speaking to him and says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. Now you separate those two. I have a body, soul, spirit. You separate those three. So if you separate them in my three persons, see, this is where the Catholic Church went wrong in 321 in their doctrines. You see, when they made God three persons, it's because they did not have a spiritual understanding of the revelation of God. God's spirit, brothers and sisters, an invisible spirit. You would not see that as a man. It has to personify itself. The Bible talks about the spirit going around in the dry places, seeking for a place of inhabitation. People don't believe the word of God. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It talks about when you cast the devil out of somebody that's going to go out in the dry places seeking, and it's going to bring back seven more, just like it where the end of the matter will be worse for that one. See, I happen to believe what the Bible says. I teach what the Bible says. I've witnessed what the Bible says. And we're still answering the question. We're getting around there. We're laying a little bit of a foundation, and we'll come around to it. Amen. The question about the baby and the body, soul, spirit. You have a body, soul, spirit. The Bible commands us to present our body, soul, and spirit. I could simply say this. I could say, yes, the child, it has a body, soul, and a spirit. When did it receive that? When it took the breath of life? Is that when it received that? Let me read some scripture to you real quick here. And then we're going to go back and expound a little bit more on that. There's so many things here that we won't have a chance to even scratch the surface of it. We don't come to church and, okay, man, I'm going to listen for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, whatever it is. This is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got to pray that God would grant on us the spirit of revelation that we could perceive and we could hear and we could understand and comprehend. You know, we're in a day and hour of gross darkness and blindness and the blind leaders of the blind. And there's just so many people walking in such a religious foolishness. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got power. You got strength. You're an overcomer. You tread on the scorpions and the serpents. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And this is going to do a little bit of differentiation for us. And then maybe we can expound on it just a little. Let's go to verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. How many believe that death is destroyed? I know a man can't believe that. But if you can look beyond the veil and understand, brothers and sisters, when the Bible says, you know, don't fear that one that could take your life, this natural breath of life. Fear the one that could take your soul. You see, because nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God according to the scriptures when you're the elect of God. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. If you remember when he appeared after the resurrection and he appeared before the brethren, he said, look, don't touch me. I've got to go back. It had to be accepted. You understand? Well, let's go on for a minute. I'm going to read this scripture and we'll go back and expound on some things. It says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? I'd like to do some teaching on that. There again, the Catholic Church. It sounds like I'm picking on Catholics, but see, most of our Protestant churches have hung on to too much Catholic doctrine, and they're baptizing people proxy, you know, for dead ones. It's gone on. It doesn't do no good. I'm telling you, once that person takes their last breath, it's sometimes even before they do that, their destiny's done sealed in. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots while they still yet live. That means they're twice dead. They've already cursed or sinned against God in such a way the Bible says they can't find no forgiveness on this side or on the other side. And see, that's against popular doctrine again. But, brothers said, we got to understand the Word of God. Amen. We need to be stewards of the Word and stewards of the mysteries of God. These things are not secret to us. Okay, verse 29 again says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Who shall stand we in jeopardy every hour? Now, I'm going to make a quick statement. I'm going to pick up verse 31. I only baptize the dead. Baptism is burial. Why would I bury somebody that's alive? You see, you have to bury people that have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that very clearly. I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what it says in Galatians 2:20. Okay, so the life that I now live, I live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the thing is you say, well, what does that mean? Well, brothers and sisters, it's very easy to see and to understand. You see, I've been crucified, or my baptism right here would be in vain. If I hadn't been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, then what good is a baptism? What good would Christ's resurrection been? What good would his death been if I couldn't have died with him or resurrected with him? Let's read on a little more. It says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. Well, what are we going to do with that scripture? We're talking about the last enemy of God is death, and here's the one talking about I die daily. Well, how do you die daily? See, we get these little religious concepts and thoughts. The Bible talks about a crucifixion, talks about a present-day crucifixion. There's a present-day death. There's a once and for all death by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. There's a resurrection that he did coming out of the earth. And then there's a daily resurrection. This is where the church gets crossed up in mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, and pre-tribulation catching away. They say rapture, which is okay as long as we understand what the word means. It's not a biblical word, but it's a catching up. These things aren't complicated, brothers and sisters. I know I could come in here and talk to you, oh yes, Jesus died for us, he shed his blood for us, he resurrected for us, praise God, hallelujah. That's wonderful things to talk about. Those are the doctrines of repentance and the doctrine of salvation. That's what I base my whole life on. But the Bible tells me not to lay again the foundation of repentance over and over again. You don't need to keep hearing every service that Jesus died for you and resurrected for you. You know that, but we got to press into the Word of God, the things of God, that will get established in the Word of God, in the mind of Christ, that we can go as conquerors and walk, brothers and sisters, in the Spirit. That's the fivefold ministry's calling, to bring you into perfection, that you could be about the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. There's so many things I'd have to stop and expound on. I could expound on that scripture for 5 hours and not even scratch the surface of it. And I'm not boasting, brother, sister. I'm small in God, but the Word of God is alive. And people read by these things and don't understand them. And we should be praying for God grant unto us the spirit of revelation that we could see and understand. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, bodies telestial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the telestial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So what do we have here? A natural body and a spiritual body. And there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, for the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. These things we should understand. These things are written here for us. This is the Word of God. This is the King James Bible. I'm not reading out of some, you know, Looney Tunes story or some fairy tale. This is the Bible, brothers and sisters. And this brother that is recording and writing these things down had the spirit of revelation. And he was writing these things to you and I. This same brother said, I want to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said that we should be teaching these things by now. But he said he finds that we have to be taught. Boy, is that a message for the entire church world, for the entire ministry of America and throughout the whole world. And we find that because of their doctrines, they don't understand what we're reading here. Because of their doctrines are error. Brothers and sisters, this is why it is important to learn the Word of God and understand these things about beast flesh, about celestial flesh, about a spiritual body, about a natural body. You don't want to say, well, it's pretty simple, Brother Rob. It is simple. We're walking around a natural body right now. When we die, we'll have a spiritual body. Well, I could get real simplistic with you and say yay and amen. You know, and it is that simple. That's not complicated things to understand. But brothers and sisters, where there is an in-between world of those two, and many people bypass that world, it's the second heaven. When he said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I was caught away into the third heaven. You don't hear too much teaching about the third heaven. But as you hear me say all the time, if there's a third heaven, brothers and sisters, there has to be a first and a second. You know, when I had my third child, it was a boy. You know, before I had the third child, I had to have two before it. And if you're in a third heaven, brothers and sisters, there's got to be a first and a second. Now, if you can have a third of something, don't mean you have a fourth or a fifth. Well, I think we could teach there's a sixth heaven. You know, no, I think we better teach what the Bible says. There's a third heaven. And if there's a third heaven, then we better start understanding that and understanding what's relative to the third heaven and find out where the devil was cast out at and why he was cast out of there and where he's living at now and where he's dwelling at now. And we're not waiting for some Antichrist to come. That's what the religious leaders want us to believe, that we're waiting someday for a manifestation of Antichrist. But if we read the Bible, it said that he's already among us. There's many Antichrists among us. We need to be teaching for we can understand what the Antichrist is, what the Antichrist is teaching today in this day and hour. You know, we think the Antichrist, he's not out in the bars and out in the drug rehabs and the drug houses. Those are his out there already anyway. The Antichrist has climbed up into the upper lintels, the upper echelon. He's teaching from the churches in America and throughout all of the world. I hear his doctrines. The Bible says if they preach any other word than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. We need to get in this word and understand what this Bible's teaching us, for we won't find ourselves being accursed. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. I love the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm accountable to this Word of God. I'm called to defend this Word of God. Amen. We could talk about ideology. Well, I got an idea. This is the way God is. You know, I think he was born 2,000 years ago and he loved me so much, knows I'm not perfect, never could be perfect. He loved me so much, he died for me and gave me his spirit, and he's just going to catch me away in there. Well, if you're a whore, he's not going to catch you away. And if you're a whoremonger, he ain't going to catch you away. He said no drunkard, no adulterer, no fornicator is going to inherit the kingdom of God. I believe the word. Amen. I believe that when he gave me his spirit, he said it's expedient that I go back to the Father, that I can send back the Holy Ghost to comfort. Why did he send it back? For we could have the power. The power for what? To overcome this world. I got the power to overcome this world. There's going to be nothing laid to my charge because I've been filled with the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? It's power. Amen. So why would you confess weakness? If you're weak, the Bible says, let you say that you're strong. Okay. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Now, if you go into theology, what is theology? Study of God. Theo. Many of our theologians say that there's no difference between the soul and the spirit. They say you could use them interchangeably. The Bible says present your body, soul, and spirit. Why didn't the Bible just say submit your body and your spirit? And the soul and the spirit, same thing. The Bible said these three are one. Why didn't he say these two are one? Now, if we think of body, soul, and spirit for a moment, sometimes these things would appear to interchange one with another. Many times when we say natural and physical, they would seem to be in pair. And you say, well, this is natural body. I say, well, it's physical. Well, what's the difference? You see, brothers and sisters, when we read right here, it talks about all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies telestial. Is there a difference? Yes. What's the difference between a celestial body and a telestial? What is the difference between a spiritual body and a natural body? Well, Jesus showed that to us, and we'll keep it simplistic as possible. When Jesus came in to the upper room, the Bible says very clearly that the doors and the windows were barred and locked. And all of a sudden he was sitting among them. Now a natural body's not going to be able to do that. I walk through walls all the time, every day, brothers and sisters. I'm very spiritual. I walk through walls, but they got doors openings in them. I walk right through them. That's what the door's for. Now Jesus is the door. And he walks us through another wall, a middle wall of petition that keeps us from going into the third heaven. So now, when we want to understand these things, we need to learn to put things in their proper dimensional perspective. If I'm speaking to you as a man here tonight, and I tell you, I say, listen, brothers and sisters, and I say, listen, I take one of them, was them judges used a little hammer. Listen to me. I said, hear ye, I'm a God. Well, if I'm a man saying that, what is that? It's blasphemous. That's what they told the Pharisees, told the Lord Jesus that. So see, I can't say that. It would be blasphemous. It would be error. It would be wrong. Jesus said to them, he said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And he said, no, they told him, no, it's not for the good works that you've done. He said, it's because you're mere man making yourself to be God. What did Jesus say in reply? You can go over there and read it. He said, But isn't it also written that ye are gods? And he talked about even the scripture in the Old Testament where it says that. It said, ye are gods, but you die like men. Why do you die like men? From one reason, a lack of knowledge. We're talking about differentiating between the body, soul, and the spirit, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the natural, physical, and spiritual world, between telestial and celestial flesh, between spiritual bodies and natural bodies. Now, we're differentiating between these two, and you're going to have to learn. Paul said, I want to speak to you as unto spirituals. You're going to have to learn to start thinking in the mind of God, thinking in the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, you know what the religious people are going to teach you and tell you? And the people of this world, because they've been infiltrated with the Antichrist mind, the mind of death. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. This is why Peter was rebuked, because of his carnal, natural mind. He said, get you behind me, Satan. We have to differentiate. Was Peter Satan when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan? No. But he was carnal-minded, and that's the mind of the devil. The Lord recognized the mind of Satan speaking through him. And you have to recognize the mind of God speaking through me just the same, or I as you. Because, you see, brothers and sisters, we got to be able to discern spirits. This is the gift of discernment that the Bible teaches us that we should seek for and after. The Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. So that's what you need to do. You need to try the Spirit tonight and see if it be of God. Is that preacher speaking the Word of God? I read these things to you. I'm expounding them to you. But then yet the Antichrist comes always with the truth. And the Antichrist is going to bring you a truth, and he's going to get you saying, well, I know that, that's the Word. And he's going to get you listening to the truth, and then he's going to bring a snare of deception and deceive you. But it's impossible to deceive God's elect. You say, well, I believe I'm God's elect. Or do you believe a lie, and are you damned? Or do you truly believe that you're God's elect? And if you're God's elect, the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. And there's ways to do that. So as we're differentiating between these dimensional projections, we're differentiating between a first, second, third heaven, a body, soul, spirit, a natural, physical, spiritual, a Father, Word, Holy Ghost. We're differentiating between the translation of the Spirit, the transformation of the mind, the transfiguration of the body, the sanctification to the soul, the glorification to the body, and the justification to the Spirit. These are all dimensional projections of God. Do we have to understand that? Well, it told us right here, and it's making it pretty clear. We're supposed to be pressing into the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. And if the Bible's teaching these things, they took time to record it and put these things down here. And these things are just they're not complicated. These things will pull us into sound doctrine. It'll get us from wandering in a wilderness wandering. It'll get us established and stable. Because when we come into the differentiation of the mind, again, the Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. How can you try the Spirit and see if it be of God? So I could say, Brother Ed Rassico, come to church tonight. Man, I got to try his spirit and see if he's of God tonight. I might say, get you behind me, Satan, Brother Ed. Just like the Lord Jesus said to be Peter, get you behind me, Satan. But then yet he loved Peter. Peter preached the first sermon, didn't he? So if I'm Catholic, I say, well, Peter's the first pope. You know, I'm going to say, well, man, I read in my Bible and Peter was Satan. You're telling me he was your first pope? But then yet I'm a Christian and I see that he was the one to preach the first message. So was it the devil? No, we have to differentiate. Differentiate what? Between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of God, the Son of Man. We got to differentiate between the inner man, the outer man. We got to differentiate between the spirits, brothers and sisters. So spirits are invisible. The Bible says that the Father's invisible, no man has seen him. He's a spirit, the Heavenly Father's spirit. Okay, so that's not hard to understand. There is a spirit of the Antichrist. How many of you have seen him today? Did you go in front of your mirror in the bathroom? Well, what is it when you look at it in the mirror? Is it the image of God? I've been taught that I've come in the image of God. Oh, you have? What image of God did you come in? Did you come in the image of the Adamic nature of the first man, Adam? Or did you come in the image of the resurrected God, the invisible spirit that resurrected him? Or did you come in the image of the resurrected one that they didn't recognize? What image are you in? What image was Jesus? You say, well, Jesus, when I saw him, I saw God. That's not what the Bible says. I'll tell you, man, I challenge you. I know my Bible. And I'm small, man. I'm telling you, I'm small. But I'm telling you what. The Bible said that Jesus came in the image of sin. It said that he came in the image of the sin nature, and we're not to no longer know him after the image that he appeared in. That's why the Catholic Church still got, I'm picking on them Catholics tonight, aren't I? That's why they got him hanging up on a cross in the crucifix. That's wrong. It's error. We're not to no longer know him in that image. We know him in the resurrection. Why don't we know him in that image? Because he despised that image so much that he sent it to the cross of Calvary, and he had it beaten and spit upon and the beard plucked off that image, and he had that image killed and destroyed and put into hell. And when it came forth, it was sown, brothers and sisters. It says right here, it wasn't the part that was sown. It said it was sown in weakness and race and power and strength. And you say, well, Jesus was different because he wasn't corruption. He didn't have the blood seed of corruption that man has. He was different than you and I. I understand that. But brothers and sisters, there's some things that we got to understand here. The thing is, it was expedient, or it was a must, that he went into hell and he came forth in the power of resurrection. The Bible says very clearly that he was the firstborn of many brethren. The thing is that we've got to start understanding now that he introduced to us another dimension. There was a natural. We think of the first man, Adam. Okay, now we could look at that and we could say that he was, this first man, Adam, the Bible says, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. Now, what are you? You could say, well, I was born after the Adamic nature of Adam. I'm a living soul. And the Bible talks about the saving of the soul. But then yet, if you're born of the Spirit and you're born again, he has made you a quickening spirit. Does the world see you of what you already are? No. See, we got to start understanding what that quickening is. What we're doing is I'm laying some foundation, and I know I'm raising questions at the same time, but I'm laying some understanding for you can start differentiating of what you are and who you are. The sad thing is people are waiting on eternal life, and I tell them I am eternal life. Well, you can't say that. Why can't I say that I'm living forever? And you say, well, I don't see that. And if you look and observe this vanity that I am, it's a lying vanity. And if you hang around and the Lord tarries long enough, you'll see him throw this thing in a box someday. It almost happened a few months ago. And you get to see him thrown in a box. That preacher was a liar. I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. Man, he said he couldn't die. I can't. Doesn't matter. So I said, a guy walked through the door and blasted my brains all over the back wall. Watched the blood running down the wall and said, man, he really missed it, didn't he? No, I didn't miss it. I can't die. We're differentiating. I passed from death unto life. I believe what Jesus taught. I believe what he's done for me. So, what does that mean? It means I've been crucified with him. If I've been crucified with him, I died with him. If I died with him, then I've resurrected with him. And if I've resurrected with him, I've resurrected into life. There's many scriptures to verify exactly what I'm talking about if you read your Bibles. This is not some far-out doctrine, brothers and sisters. This is faith in what God has done for us. And if you think that he's going to come and die for you can have eternal life, he's already done all of that he's going to do. That's why we read right here in verse 26, it said the last enemy of God was death. And you say, well, it's not conquered yet. Well, then when is it going to happen? Tell me. He's put all things under his feet, according to my scriptures and the word of God that I know. And he said that he made us more than conquerors. Why? Because it conquered death. What is death? Now we're stepping into another dimension. What is death right now, brothers and sisters? I think you know. The Bible said the carnal mind is death. So see, you think that death is when they throw someone in a box. I'm sitting here telling you, not according to my Bible, the carnal mind is death, and it's enmity with God. And I've passed from death unto life. I've got to overcome carnality. Well, I know that I've got to be in the resurrection. When does this resurrection take place? Well, if he resurrected, and we find that there's a daily death, then we got to also know that there's a daily resurrection. So if I talk about this daily resurrection, well, you know, the Christian community, we all teach a lot of the same things. You know, well, we got to take up our cross daily. What does that mean? We're killed all the day long. What does that mean? See, I could be killed. You could let Satan, the Antichrist, pervert your mind. Evil communications corrupt good manners. By not challenging the mind, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. And you don't try the Spirit and you let this mind come to you and it'll start speaking death to you. Who's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says? It's Satan. So when you have an accusing mind, then what is it? What are you giving place to? How many minds do you have speaking in their head right there? You say, man, you must be talking schizophrenia, Brother Rob. I know that I had a friend that had two minds in his head and the doctor committed him. Well, the Bible said to cast down every thought and every vain imagination would exalt itself for God. So was God talking to schizophrenic people? Was he? Come on. And if he says that we got to cast down these thoughts, where did those thoughts come from? Is all of our thoughts God thoughts? Or he wouldn't have told us to cast them down? Are they all man's thoughts? Or would he have told them to cast them down? Now, so what we got to do is we got to start. Now we're differentiating what's going on right there in your watermelon. What's going on up there? Paul said this. Now, he wrote two-thirds of this New Testament. If you can't believe the writings and things that were, the Bible said it's God-breathed and inspired by God. If you can't believe that and him writing two-thirds of the New Testament, you're in trouble. You got lots of problems. He said a lot of things that are hard to understand. But we come to the mind of Revelation, they're not complicated. They're not hard to understand. But we got to learn to differentiate thought. You got to quit thinking like a man thinks. So, if we find three minds in our head, we got to cast down thoughts. If this is the case, then which ones do we cast down? Now listen to me. Well, I know that when a mind comes to me and says, I'm going to stop at the bar, man. I'm going to get me a couple drinks and, man, have a good time. You say, well, I know that wasn't God's mind. Even though I had a man tell me that's what God called him to do. He said, God called me to do that. You know, and I thought, you lying rascal. And I told him he was a lying rascal and he wanted to fight. And if God did tell him to do that, I can tell you what. If God gave him enough power to go into bars to convert people to Christianity in bars, he would have gave him enough power not to have control over his spirit and anger. When I told him he was on his way to hell, he wouldn't have rose up and wanted to fight with me. I've had him look me in the eye and tell me I'm of the devil. And I just smile at him. I love you. Man right down here in town reached in over in his toolbox and grabbed a crowbar. And he said, I'm giving you 5 seconds to get out that door. And I said, I looked him right in the eye. And I said, well, that don't sound like a very... Well, before he grabbed his crowbar, he said, I'm giving you 5 seconds to get out of my building. And I said, wow, that don't sound like a very godly thing to do. And I smiled at him. And he grabbed his crowbar. He said, I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm giving you 5 seconds to get out that door. I'm going to remove you. I said, I love you. If he would have hit me, it just showed the same old crucifixion of Christ. You say, man, Brother Rob, you provoke people. Now, I don't provoke people. I just in there talking to him about the Lord. And he had a religious devil. And that thing rose up in him. That spirit rose up in him. And he got angry and things. I'm called in defense of the Word of God. So we got a lot of things laid out on the table here. It would take us, really honestly, brothers and sisters, it would take us hours upon hours to pull all these things together, and they're not complicated. But let's pull some things together here for a moment. If we have a body, soul, spirit, which was the question presented, and we find a little baby born, and you say, well, when did this baby receive life? Was it when it took that first breath when it was born? So that would make it okay, because now we, as doctors, we could take and go up into the womb of a woman and we could cut its head off, inject saline solution right up there in its brain, and it could eat it alive, and it won't be counted us of God for murder. Yes, that's a foolish thought, isn't it? When did that child have a beginning? Did it have a beginning, brothers and sisters? I was born in 1958. Was that my beginning? Was that it? You say, well, sure it was. There was a beginning of natural life there, naturally speaking. Now, did Jesus have a beginning 2,000 years ago? Well, he had no beginning, no end, according to the Word. So if I start telling you that 2,000 years ago he had a beginning, then I would be in error, wouldn't I? Now, if I told you the Son of Man had a beginning 2,000 years ago, then we could be in a differentiated mind thought. There's some fine lines in these things, brothers and sisters, and this is why we have to come to the mind of Christ. When Jesus went into hell and came forth, he wasn't recognized when he came out, was he? Why? Because it was celestial flesh. It was spirit flesh. It wasn't no longer corruptible. It was no longer, brothers and sisters, relative to this world. This is why, again, as I said, that thing appeared behind the locked and closed doors. It appeared there behind those locked and closed doors because it wasn't relative to the bars and the things of this world. It went right through it. Now, when we think of a quickening spirit, one, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. When Jesus came and walked among men, he walked in the same image that the first man, Adam, walked in, and that was the image of sin. That's why we don't know him after that image. We know him in the resurrection. Now, the thing is that first man, Adam, perspective couldn't have walked through the walls. But when something is the quickening spirit, it changes that vibration of that part that you're even looking at. Because let me tell you something. That body that you see with these natural eyes of vibration is natural and carnal, and it's relative to this world. But when Jesus came into this other spirit body, he made it that you could see it and it could appear, but it could go like this in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It could be in Jerusalem, and it could be standing right here. And I'm not talking about, I know the spirit is omnipresent everywhere, but I'm talking about the manifestation of that bodily perspective. Even Philip was caught away by coming into a body that he was transfigured and changed. Jesus, when he walked before the resurrection, was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said that he outshined the sun. Now see, that was giving us a glimpse, brothers and sisters, of what was to come. You see, that means that it took place even because the crucifixion had already taken place before they ever witnessed it on the earth, because it happened before the world ever was. I'm challenging you to change the way you think. You got to be careful in understanding some of these things, because we were trying to speak by the Spirit of God and keep the things of the Spirit in a dimension. Number one, you got to understand that in the Spirit, time is no more. The Bible said he stood with one foot on the land and another on the sea with his hands lifted up towards heaven and declared what? That time is no more. Now this is what our Bible says. So see, you can't in your finite, natural, carnal mind as a man comprehend that. Because you think, well, wait a minute, man, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, you know, thus, us, and us. But see, we're not relative to that world. See, time and distance is carnal, it's man. Spirit, brothers and sisters, this time is no more. Distance is no more. When you're omnipresent, there is no more distance. You see, the reason you think of distance and time, because you say, well, I'm going to the West Coast and it takes time to get there. You understand that? But when you see, when you're in the Spirit, there is no time. There is no distance. So those things don't mean anything to you. It would take literal hours, brothers and sisters, and I probably opened up too many things and tried to square up too many things. But let's keep it as simple as I know to do. That these things are not, again, complicated. You say, well, they're confusing. Well, confusion's of the devil. It's not at all confusing to me. If a little child sitting back here in the back row, and I called my granddaughter up here that's 4 or 5 years old, and I said, okay, listen, I want you to tell me, you know what 27 times 30 is. Well, I could add it up for you, possibly. I don't know multiplication. Well, see, it's not confusing to me because I know how to do multiplication. To her, it might be confusing because she's not been trained in that. But I am trying to bring you, my calling is to bring you into perfection and to bring you into the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word that you could comprehend these things. Because these things eliminate false doctrine. Because when you start being able to understand the mind of Christ and the projection in these dimensional projections, then you understand things in such a way that you're going to be settled in your mind. There's too many doctrines in America. Some believe in women preachers, some don't. Some believe that God is three persons, some don't. Some believe that God is one. The Bible says God is one. What do you believe? I believe that, like the Bible. The Bible said God is one. But the Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. The Bible says that water, blood, and spirit said these three agree in one. I have to understand that. I'm a teacher of God's Word. So there's a lot of errors that these things will bring to a cease and to a stop. Because we differentiate those things. And we understand death. We understand it was the last enemy of God. We understand that it was already conquered. We understand the second death when the Bible talks about that. We understand judgment. We understand resurrection. The church teaches that we can't judge. My Bible teaches that we must judge, that ye that are spiritual judge all things. The Bible says that if you judge, you're judged in the same manner in which you judge. That didn't tell you not to judge. It just says that if you're going to judge a man for being a drunk and you're drinking, you just brought judgment to yourself, because the Bible said sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. Why do the preachers teach you we can't judge? Because they don't want you to judge them, because they're full of the Antichrist and the devil. That sounds strong, I know. But that's why the Bible said they won't teach. We're talking about deception, brothers and sisters. We're in a day and hour of vast deception. You need to read the Bible. There was a prophecy that went forth in 1965 by a brother that walked with Smith Wigglesworth. And I read the thing today, and I'll tell you, the man really allowed the Lord to speak through him, and we could see what's happening right now in this day and hour of the things that's happening. Brothers and sisters, I love the Word of God, I love the Lord, and I love the ministers of God. And there's some wonderful ministers out there that love the Lord and doing the very best that they know to do to serve God and to walk right and to teach sound doctrine. But on the other hand, there's many, many, many walking in deception. It's very obvious. The Bible said, small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. It's real easy to get into a doctrine and think, oh, you know, God is love, and he is, but we don't understand love sometimes. See, when you see Jesus being brutally beaten and ripped apart, and his flesh torn from his body, and the blood flowing from his head, and the blood flowing from his hands, blood flowing from his back, blood flowing from the nail scars in his hands or the nails, blood flowing from his feet. And you'd say, oh, Mike, it's so brutal. Even this last Hollywood showing of that crucifixion, the Passion of the Christ. People think, well, I think it was played a little bit too strong. I don't. But what did you see in that? That was the love of God. You see, you in your finite mind as a man would not think that was love. That's so cruel and so brutal. Know that how much he loved us. That he sent his only begotten son. That he loved us so much, brothers and sisters, that that was what a true expression of love was. But see, we wouldn't think that way in our natural mind as a man. That's why when Jesus started sharing with them about it, that he had to go to Jerusalem, this is why Peter said, oh no. And he said, get you behind me, Satan. See, he was getting in the way through carnal concepts of thought. The homosexuals stand eyeball to eyeball with you and say, no, God's love. Don't tell me, you know, this God, the God I know and the God I serve is love. Don't you tell me that he's going to throw me in hell. He loved you so much, Mr. Homosexual, that he gave his own blood and he shed his blood and died for you that you wouldn't have to. But you must accept him and you must believe and you must ask him to grant the spirit to you. And when he fills you with his spirit and with his power, he'll give you the power to overcome that filthy, perverted spirit. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. And if you yield your members to sodomy or drunkenness or adultery or fornication or anger or mischief, then that's who you are of. And the Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. And that's why the Bible said your father is the devil. But I have the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit dwelling in me where the Bible says it cries, Abba, Father. How do we know that we have His Spirit? Because we bring forth the fruit of His Spirit. We bring forth the fruit of His Spirit. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we're just in continuous sacrifice, there must be disobedience in our life. But if we have the fruit of the Spirit, we find love and joy and peace and long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, meanness. We find these things emanating from us. So we find that Satan comes and presses against us, kicking against the pricks, the Bible says. And he comes in and he's pressing on us, brothers and sisters. And if we answer according to the world, then we're of the world. This is why we suffer the wrong and swear to our own hurt. We don't pierce each other through nor break ranks. There's a lot to understand there. He said they hated me first, and he said they'll hate you also. They had no reason to hate him, and he said they won't have no reason to hate you. I've had people that I've helped. I've given them finance. I've given them money. I've given them doctrine and loved them and helped them, and they turn and rend you, and they pierce you. Why? It's Antichrist. They gave place to the Antichrist. Is that a finality? When a man gives place to the devil, does that mean he is the devil? When Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan, would that seal the eternity of Peter to be doomed to hell? No, evidently not. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he preached a bold, great message in the book of Acts after he was filled with the power of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this is where we start differentiating. In the soul realm is the second heaven where these two powers are seeking for your soul. The Antichrist wants to use your soul to project his mind, his thoughts, his ways, his false doctrines, his errors, for he can steal your soul. He is a deceiver and full of deception, and he is disputing for your life. The thing is, brothers and sisters, God is want to come through your soul to redeem your body. And he is want to come and it's the saving of the soul. The Bible said it's not the sin of the flesh, brothers and sisters. Jesus came and died for that. But it's the sin of the soul. You're not going to be held accountable for the sin of the flesh. It's the sin of the soul. And it's manifesting in the flesh. This is where this differentiation comes in. You see, brothers and sisters, it's a spirit. When a mother takes her little 3-year-old baby down to the creek and slices its throat and buries it in the water, or puts them in her car and drives her car into the water, or drowns them in their bathtub, or does those things, brothers and sisters, you say, what a wicked woman. No, it was a spirit of the devil that filled her, and it came through her soul, and you saw the action of Satan. And the woman will be numbered with that. Whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. So now we're in a dispute, brothers and sisters, for who you are. Who are you? The Bible teaches us very clearly, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Who are you tonight? Have you examined yourself? Are you truly in the faith? Do you truly understand faith? You see, brothers and sisters, we can just go through life so, as the Bible says, lascivious. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. You're such an awesome God. I'm not mocking, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, there's thousands of people walking like this. As I had one standing eyeball to eyeball with me, actually a little bigger than I was, about this tall. And he said, Rob, he goes, I know you would want to argue with me, but he said, I'm born again. He said, I'm a born again Christian. I know you'd want to dispute that with me, but I'm born again. And sure, I'd dispute it with him. My Bible said no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God, and he was drunk when he was talking to me. My Bible says that no adulterer or fornicator is going to inherit the kingdom of God, and the man was shacked up with a woman. So all I could tell him is, I said, well, according to my Bible and to what I understand, that you are believing a lie and you're damned. Now you say, well, that's harsh. Sometimes we've got to bring people to a harsh reality, brothers and sisters, that they could repent of their sins and they could get born again and turn away from their wicked ways. I'm called in defense of God's word. Now, if God is going to let this whoremonger, this adulterer, in to the kingdom of God, it makes God's word a lie. And if I believe he's going to bring that man in, then this word of God's a lie, and I've just lost all hope and all faith in this Bible, in the word and everything, and we may as well just kick up our heels and get out in the world and live like the devil and go to hell with the rest of them. Don't sound too good, does it? Either we're going to believe the Bible or not. I know I said a lot of things here tonight, and if the Lord would allow, maybe we'll close a few of them up. These things come by the mind of Christ and the spirit of revelation. You can't step out of a nursery school and expect to understand, you know, going from the first grade to college. You see, I'm not a religious person. I've done trampled around in the religious world, fellowship with the preachers, out on the golf courses with them. I've done been down through them realms. Well, you think that's wrong, Brother Ron? Well, brothers and sisters, when God's showing me people in my midst on their lost on their way to hell, and I'm out on the golf course, it sounds to me like I'm not concerned for souls. Well, you think it's wrong to be on a golf course? Well, I'm not going to get into that. It would be wrong for me to be on a golf course when I got people sitting in my presence lost on their way to hell. What you do, you'll just have to seek after your own salvation and do it with fear and trembling like the Bible says. When we start trying to understand, Paul said, the things that I want to do are the very things I don't do. And the very things I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Was Paul schizophrenic? He was bipolar, I know for sure. But we're talking about two minds. He was talking about two minds. He said, I am in a continual warfare. Now, brothers and sisters, there is a warfare between the mind of God and the mind of the devil. The Bible said that the mind of man and the mind of God, it says that these are contrary one to another. The carnal mind, again, is death. The carnal mind is contrary to the mind of God. The Bible said God's ways are not man's ways. And man's ways are not God's ways. So now what we have to do, I made this statement the other day, the most studied thing. If I said we're going to study the stars, I'll say astrology. If I say we're going to study God, we say theology, Scientology, if we're going to get into study of science and things of such. The most studied thing in all of the world that more men have master's degree in than anything else is ideology. I have an idea what God is. I have an idea that Jesus loves me so much that I could continue to live in a homosexual lifestyle. I could continue to play the role of the whore. I could continue to live like an adulterer or fornicator. I could continue to lie. I could continue to steal. I could continue to cheat. And God loves me so much and knows that nobody's perfect and knows that I had no chance and he died for me and he's going to take my wretched, sorry, unclean, filthy, perverted self right into heaven with him. What is that? That's ideology. That's your idea of things. See, you said a whole lot of truth. Yes, you're wretched. Yes, you're no good. We've all fallen away from God. You could be a virgin in the natural concepts of a man or woman. Never had a relationship. Never. And be an adulterer. Just read James 4. The Bible says friendship with the world is adultery in God. Jesus went on to say to them, he said, you know what? If a man even looketh upon a woman, that he committeth adultery. So now, wait a minute. You see, you're in the flesh in your mind and you're thinking of these physical actions. And here's our God and our Savior and our salvation challenging us. How are you thinking? You see, brothers and sisters, we've got to start coming into the mind of Christ. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. It's against spiritual wickedness. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. But there's spirits that are wanting to use your life. A spirit of anger cannot manifest itself until it comes into a body. When the mother sliced the throat of her daughter or little boy and killed him, it was a spirit of the devil that came and filled this woman or this man. So the woman, man's innocent. It was the devil that done it. How many times do you think that prayer's ringing around the heavenlies? I didn't do it, Lord. The devil made me do it. Who was the first one that cried that one out? Adam. It was the woman that thou givest me. She's the one that ate it. I mean, that's mankind. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. Very seldom we find a man that says, look, I'm sorry. I've erred. Apologize, man. I'm sorry. Well, but you know, this brother, man, he come up, man, this brother, he made me mad, man. I would have never done it. Man, my wife, man, if she didn't have that devil on her. Man, I'm just a perfect loving husband, but my wife come home with this wicked spirit on her. But you know, Jesus, he had people come up to him, said, you know what, you're the devil. You're a wine bibber. You know, you're this and that. Did he do that? Well, you wretched, no good guy, I'm going to rip your head off your shoulders. Nah, he loved them. That's what we have to do when we have God's spirit. When we have God's spirit, we have to do the same thing. Let's talk about understanding spirits. The Bible says again that if you do not believe that God is God is, listen to me, if you do not believe that God is, if you do not believe that God is in the flesh, then you are Antichrist. And it goes on to say that there's many Antichrists among us. Why did you say that? Well, number one, I didn't say it as the word. There's a teaching that the Antichrist is going to reveal himself over here in the Middle East, come out of Syria or somewhere over in one of these eastern countries over here. And this Antichrist, the Bible said, the whole world's going to follow after him and he's going to deceive the whole world. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Do you believe that that man is walking on the scene now and walking among men? Well, let me explain that real quick, because I'm trying to get you to learn to differentiate minds, spirits, and thoughts. Do you believe that God is speaking in the earth today, Brother Rob? Yes. The Bible says it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. Why? Because the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus that raised him up from the dead, the Bible says, will dwell in my mortal body. What's a mortal body? This is what this body that you see with your eyes, it's a mortal body, and it'll be sown a mortal body, and it'll be raised as an immortal. But the same spirit that dwelled within Jesus when he walked among men is dwelling within me. And I'm about the Father's business, and it's no longer I that speak, but God that speaketh through me. And you say, well, you think too highly of yourself. Well, I'm speaking this to you. Because this is what you need to learn to start believing. So every time the preacher opens his mouth, it's God speaking. That's not what I'm saying. If he's in the mind of Christ. Now, if I get up here and I lean over to the mind of carnality, the human mind of ideology, then Jesus could walk through the door and he could say, Brother Rob, get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things of this world. You savor the things of the flesh. So what am I? Am I Satan or am I God? Which one is speaking? The Bible says, try the Spirit. And see if it would be of God. Try the Spirit, it says. Are you saying it's my responsibility, Brother Rom, that when I come to church that I've got to try the Spirit and see if it be of God? I say, yeah, it is, and you better do that with fear and trembling. Because what if you come to church and it's Jesus Christ speaking through me to you, and you lightly esteem it and savor it to be towards the flesh, you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and you can't even find forgiveness in this world or the world to come. And you say, is that what blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is? Can be. It takes understanding. You're not going to blaspheme without an understanding. There's little babies that's come up and say, man, I might have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. So you don't even understand it. I think you'll be all right. God's going to take and change your little diaper and he's going to get you cleaned up a little bit and you'll be okay. You stink like you blaspheme, but you know, you'll be all right. We'll get you cleaned up, get you washed up a little bit. And you know, we need to have a hunger for these things, a drawing for these things. Say, God, help me to understand. Brothers and sisters, I'm not preaching some strange fire. I've got my Bible open here. I'm reading to you, trying to expound on some of the things. You tell me what celestial flesh is. You tell me what telestial flesh is. You tell me what the glory of the star is and the glory of the moon. You see, I understand these things because God has helped me. And I'm not boasting to you about this. I'm boasting in the mind of Christ that I prayed and God's grant unto me the mind of Christ and the spirit of revelation that we can understand the height, depths, and widths and lengths of God's word. You tell me why the Bible says that the woman's saved in childbearing. I know why. But why don't we hear that being taught? You tell me why ye that are born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth in you. I understand that. Can you explain that to me? I know many of you can. But see, I know the word of God and I know that there are people stumbling around in religious dogma and vomit. The Bible said vomit on the tables. The Bible talks about the dog returning to its own vomit and lapping it up and the pig going back to the mire. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to get in this word. It's pure, it's clean, it's godly, it's holy, it's righteous, it's virtuous. We need to start understanding what is written here. These things are not hard to perceive and understand when you get into the mind of God. The Bible said it's the wicked that don't understand. I understand. I'm not wicked. Do you understand? I say I have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. Do you know all things? By the unction of the Spirit, I do. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Many things in here, just like it says, that are hard to understand. Jesus said things are hard to understand. He said, eat of my flesh. Drink of my blood. And man, some walked away from us. Man, this dude's a cannibal, man. I'm out of here. Could you see a man cutting over the hill? I'm not going to stick around and see this no more. You know, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that we need to get into the mind of God. Well, see, that's easy to understand, Brother Rob. You know, we know that this body was broken and shows the bread and we take bread in our communion and that's what he was telling us to do. Are you sure? What dimension are you speaking in? So when you drink Kool-Aid, is that blood? Or when you drink wine, is it blood? Which one is right? Is the Kool-Aid right or wine right? You know, see, I'm talking about the differences of these doctrines of men and we need to stay with the Bible. Some of the theologians say that the wine that they made and that Jesus made and stuff there had no alcohol in it. It was like grape juice. The Bible says that he commanded the ministers to to be not given to wine. Well, if it's just grape juice, why would he say, look, you can't drink too much grape juice? I don't think God cares how much grape juice you drink. I think he cares how much wine you drink. Man, I've overdosed on Welch's. Man, you got a Welch's spirit on you, brother. You're reeking like a grape. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not hard to understand. These things aren't hard to understand. We get into the mind of Christ. I've been taught a lot of things, brothers and sisters. I've got a hunger for the Word. And I've always had a hunger for the Word. When I was young in the Lord, man, if I got with a preacher, man, I'll tell you what, my dad used to tell me when I was a kid, he said, son, if you understand all these questions, you're going to be one sharp kid one day. Because I'd ask him questions. I wanted to know about the airplane, how to fix them, how to work on them, how to fly them and everything. And I just ask questions all the time. And I get with preachers, I do the same thing. I love to talk about the Word. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. There's people out there counseling what I'm talking about, and there's no wisdom. Well, that makes the Word of God a lie. No, it doesn't make the Word of God a lie. We just got to understand where we're getting our wisdom from. When it doesn't fit your spirit, I could remember going to preachers, and I'd say, brother, I don't understand this right here in the Bible. Would you please help me? And they go, oh, yes. A lot of preachers like, man, I'm sure not going to let them think I'm ignorant. I'm going to tell them. They give them an answer. And they'd be giving me an answer. And I'd be listening to them, and there was something right here saying, I didn't have the answer, but there was something telling me that the answer I was getting wasn't right. What is that? It's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, bearing witness one with another. And what was coming to me wasn't bearing witness in the Spirit. And then the understanding would come. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you could sit in a doctrine and you're listening and your spirit is being fed and filled up and you're encouraged in your heart and your spirit thinking, oh God, thank you. But then the Bible talks about this mind right here is fruitless. The Bible said that you pray in the Holy Ghost and you gird up that innermost strength, but it said this up here, this mind is fruitless. You see, because why? You're praying in the Spirit. When you're speaking by the Spirit, if you're listening through the intellectual carnal concepts of man's mind, of ideology, you say, that don't make no sense to me. But you see, we can't lean to our own understanding. The Bible said that we're puffed up in our fleshly mind and we think we know something when we know nothing whatsoever at all. That's what our Bible says. The carnal mind is enmity with God and it'll get us in trouble. And man says, go to college and build that mind and do this and do that. No, we get into the Spirit of God and we trust and we pray and we press our way into the things of God, and we wait for the divine revelation. The Bible said, wait on teaching to teach is what the Bible teaches us. This is what we wait on, the Spirit of God. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I'm going to say some things because this kind of goes along with what we're talking about tonight. We say body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, and spiritual, first, second, third heaven. The Father is relative to the third heaven, the invisible realm. Now, when we come over and we say the Holy Ghost is an invisible spirit of God, but it manifests in a body. We are the body of Christ. The Holy Ghost was sent back to us to manifest in the body. That's where the office of the Holy Ghost comes into the perspective as we as the body of Christ. When we get into the middle realm, that's the cross where Jesus came, the soul realm, and the invisible spirit of God, the Father, came and dwelled in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That was the cross realm. He was the mediator between God and man. It's not Mary. We can't pray to Mary. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. It was what bridged the gap there. He came in the soul realm, the second heaven. Now, if you go to the allegories again, when they come out of Canaan land, showing flesh, Egypt, bondage, they went into the wilderness. They had to go through the Red Sea, showing blood. Had to show the bloodbath of the Lord Jesus. They went through the Red Sea. They wandered around in 40 years of wilderness wandering. And they went into Canaan land, the promised land. So the thing is that when we find this Spirit of the Father, we've come into the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we found that he was the gap that bridged between man and God. Okay, so then he came in the middle of those two because he was relative to man because he birthed through the virgin birth, and he was relative to God because the sin spirit came in there. He was in the middle, both son of man, both son of God. Now we have to differentiate this between those two, both Lord and Christ. So when we differentiate these two, we find out that in differentiation, we could put them apart, but actually what is happening is the Spirit has redeemed that which was lost. When Eve transgressed against God in the garden there, that was the body of Adam. When Paul said, I'll show you a mystery, when the man and the woman marry, he said they become one in the flesh. Didn't say spirit, said one in the flesh. Why? Now see, I could expound on that, but I'm trying to close still. I know you've been indoctrinated in these things. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. It's not a mystery. A mystery is a secret. And we're stewards of the secrets of God, the Bible says. Stewards of the mysteries. These secrets are unveiled to us. They're no longer secrets because they've been shared with us. That's what a steward of the mystery does. He gets into the secret things of God. So when the man and woman become one in the flesh, so I'm going to stand here again and don't get weird on me, but I'm a woman. Oh, no. I thought you had a little bit too much sweetener in your tank. Gosh, help me, Lord. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. Is that the woman that's saved in childbearing? So here I am, a man, and the Bible said the woman needs to be silent in the church. So here I am, I'm telling you that I'm the bride of Christ. And here I am up here preaching. We don't believe in woman ministers. Well, what is preaching up here? Is it the bride of Christ? Is it the Son of Man? Is it the Son of God? Is that Brother Rob? I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Well, the Bible said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. When's that going to happen? Oh, man, praise God. We got to stand. We got to hang on. You with your deferred hope, it says that your faith is shipwrecked. Oh, I know that someday he's coming back for us. Oh, hallelujah. Am I mocking? No. I'm telling you, man, brothers and sisters, either we got to believe this right here or we need to throw it out. He said it's expedient that I go back to the Father. Why? For I could send back what? The Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Did he do it? Yes. So what are we waiting on? If we believe that these three are one, he said it. Go read it for yourself. 1 John said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. He said that he sent it back. Is it speed to go back? No, send back the Holy Ghost. He sent it back. It was very evident there when Peter said, "In this same Jesus in whom you crucified, I stand here today." That was the Holy Ghost. He said, when two or three come together in my name, I'm in the midst. How many of you come in the name of the Lord tonight? I did. There's another one. There's three of us, four, five of us, man. Surely he's here. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? I believe it. I ask him to fill me with his spirit. Fill me with his power. Fill me with his love. Amen. He's here. He said it's no longer the man speaking, but him speaking. He's here. He said that he's given us all authority and a power. He gave us the power to remit sin. You say, oh, now you really crossed over. Well, then what do we baptize people for? Go read. That's the very first thing that the first Pope preached. Peter said that I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We have the authority and the power to remit sin in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Or we got no business messing around with these things. Oh, you can't talk like that. You being a mere man making yourself to be God. I know they wanted to stone Jesus. They had, as a matter of fact, took and crucified him. But I'm about the Father's business. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm here in this earth to seek that which is lost. I'm here to look at those that are being deceived and blinded by the Antichrist doctrine and get their eyes opened up that they could see and understand and comprehend God, that they could get out of the religious realms of wondering. The Bible said the blind leaders are the blind and they all fall in the ditch. And the Bible teaches that the ditch is the great whore. And the Bible also lets us know through the mind of revelation and understanding who that is. All the Protestant church world teaches that the great whore is the Catholic Church. Don't they? Am I the first one that's heard that? I hope that's not a revelation to you. But then the Bible talks about the daughters of the whore. What's that? That's the Protestant church. Surely they come birthing through? Well, there's a lot we could go into there right there, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. The Catholic Church was ordination of God, and the Word of God came through that thing. It's a beautiful thing. The Son of God came right through Mary. Beautiful thing. The Son of Man and the Son of God came right through that. So there's a lot of beautiful things that lay in these things, brothers and sisters. We need to understand them. So we find there in these things that sometimes the Spirit of God moves through. I cannot go back where Elijah was at the brook in Carmel. I can't go back there and hang out, wait for a raven to come feeding me. I have to follow the Spirit, and it went on. It moved. The thing is, brothers and sisters, there's the Spirit of God has come through many things. Brother John Wesley was a fine man. He was one of the most awesome ministers of the day and hour. And the Spirit of God came right through that Methodist church. Brother William Branham, Spirit of God came right through that. His people have gone into error. John Wesley's followers have gone into error. They went back to the mother of the great whore. What about Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a Catholic, but he was one of the greatest men of God, brought the whole revelation and the message of faith, and was being persecuted and wanted to be killed by the Catholics. But the message went right on through. It's no longer there at the Catholic Church. It's departing, brothers and sisters. Oh, praise God, I'm glad I'm a Protestant. The Spirit's leaving the Protestant move because of heresy and the errors that they've gone into. Why you say these things, Brother Ron? I'm saying these things because we need to wake up and see what day and hour we're in. The Bible said, gross darkness. Just listen to the doctrines and see if they bear witness with your spirit, the doctrines that are going forth and the things that are happening and the things that are being said. The television evangelists are preaching perverted doctrines that aren't of God. If you don't find it in this word, and you can't find it right here in this word, that's why they're rewriting the Bibles. This is why we've got all these new translations, because the things of this word, we're not supposed to take the offense of this out. The minister is supposed to be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. But we want to take these things out, you know, and soften things down. But we can't do that. We got to stay with the Word of God. We're in a dangerous day and hour. Stand together with me for a minute. I'm not closing yet, but stand with me. I'm just letting you know that we're on our way to closing. You love the Lord? I love you and I appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get and pray in the mind of Christ that we can understand these things. Well, do you think, Brother Rob, for a minute that if I don't understand everything you said up there, I'm going to hell? No, I'm not that ignorant. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When a little baby receives the Spirit of God and they really receive born again, they fall in love with Jesus. They may not understand the heights and depths of the Word, but there's a Spirit in them and they want to lift their hands and say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me and washing me. Thank you for setting me apart. There's a Spirit there, brothers and sisters. You know them by the Spirit. And you can tell when that Spirit's there. When a little child is in your midst, they might not have the understanding you got, but you could tell that's the sweetness of that little Spirit. And when you get into the mind of God, it's the same way. But we have to press in. We got to press into the mind. You know why we have to press in? Because it brings a stability to us. It brings an established to us, and we're not tossed around and tossed to and fro. We're not like the Bible said, a man running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. We're established in the mind of Christ. We're planted, brothers and sisters. Amen. Not easily moved. That's because the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, and we cannot be moved nor shaken. Nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Your preachers aren't teaching you that. And the Bible said that God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. And when a preacher tells you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, he's telling you that God doesn't hear your prayers. You were born as a sinner with the sins of death. But praise be to God that you come to a revelation and an understanding that Jesus died for you and shed his blood and you accepted that by faith. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint of God. You speak like a saint of God. You talk by faith in the Spirit of God. You speak those things that are not as if they were. You speak when you're weak and you say, I'm strong. When you say it's impossible, you say, no, God's Word said that all things are possible through Christ. When you say I'm weak, I say, no, I'm strong because I've got the Spirit of strength and power in me. We need to change the way we talk. We need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we walk and the way we act. Amen. We are God's workmen. Brothers and sisters, we're written epistles, written and known of all men, and they should see Jesus Christ in your life, in everything that you do. Should bring glory to the kingdom of God and the things of God. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophy, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.